Accession number 20136, Reel 4.
Alec Milcharek, Reel 4.
Well, she had a look out. She saw that they gone. She come back, let me out. And she said, well, be careful. I look around. I said, thank you very much. You saved my life. That daughter looks at me. Just make face a little bit. She couldn't care less about me. But mother, she saved my life. Because if they got me, they would kick me out without, they would enjoy doing it. Anyway, I move a little bit. When they gone, I move in a little bit. There was next compartment, there was some old couple. They look at me. I move, in that little corridor there. They look at me, but they didn't ask me who I was or so. Anyway, the police didn't come forward again. In the end, we come to Jawabat. I jump off about, half a kilometer or so. I didn't want to go to the train, just in case, that high, people, going there, they may be extra guards or whatever. I didn't mind walking that half a mile to the railway station. I got there. Oh, there was quite a few people waiting, for trains, but there was no trains going. So I keep up, by the station with other people. Next morning, I got up. I went to town, to Jawabat. I asked for that Polish machine, wherever they were. And I joined the army, Polish army in Russia. They took me, to Russia place where they give us a bath, delouse us, put some powder over our clothes and all that. And they took us somewhere to the place. And after, a couple of days or so, there was Easter. And that's where I show you that photograph, So we had a bit extra Russian, So. But I thought, they say, we will be getting uniforms soon. So you have to give up all your clothes there. But I had a good, sheepskin and good boots. I didn't want to give it that away for nothing. So I thought, I sneak to town, I sell it for money or something to eat. And that's what I done. I went back to town because our camp, a few tents, just outside the town. And I remember I got some lovely oranges and peaches. And I had a good feed and I had a good turnout afterwards. I didn't mind that, but I enjoyed the pitches. And that's how I joined. And then, we went to, bath again. They tried to keep us clean. And they gave us, uniform. And after, a few days, we had that, during Easter, we had a good meal and all that. And we had to march to a place called Suzak. About 15 kilometers from Jawabat. And that's where we stay for a while. And we've been, having training there, long marches and all that. And actually, we make quite decent soldiers then in that short time, we had then. And then the rumor went around, we've been told actually by officers, that Russian wants to take us to their army. If not, they want us to send, to Russian, to German front, Russian-German front. But they told us that we don't want to join Russian army, or we don't want to go fighting because we haven't got experience, we haven't got any army, we will be just a meat. And Polish government in London, I suppose they had a means of communication, I don't know how, they don't want us to actually go there. And they decided, we have a training as much as we can. A Chinese border, Chiang Kai-shek and his army, they were about 50 kilometers from where we were, from Suzak. And that's what we're doing, getting up at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning and going over the mountains, over the thistle. It was horrible, your legs were blasted, bleeding because it all dry stuff, But we've been doing it and willingly. Anyway, outcome of this one, it was that Russians decided they don't want any trouble because they knew that if they tried to disarm us, because we had few rifles, not much, you know, or tried to send us away, you know, on the Russian front then, the whole population would, you know, might get up and causing trouble because the Russians were very, very, you know, say weak there. There was, you know, a few soldiers, but very little. And only a few officials, you know, say in key points like. But so they say, well, what do you would like to do? So apparently Polish people decided, well, we want to get out of it. And Britain say, all right, we take over, you know, say. So then, that's what's happened after a little while. We went on to, yes, we went, you know, say we got on the train and went marched to Jalalabad, got on train, and from Jalalabad through Ashgabat and Krasnovodsk, it's a big port on Caspian Sea, to Persian port of Pakhlevi. But before we left Krasnovodsk, Russian said, or issue, you know, say, order, that we must give every identity forms back to Russians because they didn't like it because, you know, say, we had only third or fourth category identity cards. And how come with Russians being, you know, say, everybody, free people, you can do what you like. So they didn't want, you know, say, showing the later on, you know, West propaganda and all that. So we had to give up. I would like to keep it, but, well, if they, you know, say, make check and find you with that, you know, they wouldn't let you go on boat. Anyway, so of Krasnovodsk, we got on boat. There was lots of soldiers and there was lots of civilian people as well. But I should mention also, you know, say, when I joined the army, I put my sisters, there was three sisters, you know, say, eldest one, Genia and Blandina and Mary, on army list. They're supposed to army give them, you know, say food. They were under army protection. They put them in some place, and actually I went and saw them once. And I didn't see them, you know, say, whoa, till a long time afterwards. And that was later from later on. And apparently in that time, while I was in the army, my sister, eldest one, joined the Polish army, you know, say, as a nurse. They give her, you know, say, army rank of second lieutenant, and she was working in the army hospital. I don't know where. I could never find out afterwards because we've been moving so much. Anyway, the typhus epidemic apparently spreads through that hospital. The hundreds of people die, and my sister then. And then she was buried there as well. I don't even know where. I was, you know, told to some people who knew where, and that's only, and that was after I come back to come to England, and the other sister, were under army protection, and later on I knew they were sent to Africa, Kenya, Tanganyika. They had some armies. Anyway, we went to the Pakhlevi. We got that. Well, when we got from the boat, we marched through the Pakhlevi. We couldn't believe our eyes. There was open shops, fruit in shops, food, anything you wish for. I couldn't believe it. Well, we were put in tents outside the town. And we've been there, I suppose, about fortnight, maybe a bit longer. We've been told not to buy anything from the shops or from Arabs, especially food. They didn't want it. They say, we give you enough to build you up. And it was true. You could live on it very good. But some people, just they didn't have willpower. The Arabs, used to Persians, used to come just outside your tent. And they bring food, cook nicely, and smell and good. But that food, people used to buy. It was too rich for their poor stomachs. They got dysentery, or you name it, whatever it is. They will be sitting on toilets all the time. Some even die. Anyway, so our people are supposed to command, army command decided that that place is not doing any good. And they decided to move us. And then we did, they sent us from Pahlevi through Qazvin, Hamadan, Kermanshah, and through Iraq-Persian border to Iraq. And we on 29th 8th 42, we got to a place called Kanakin. That was a big refinery there, and a small river there. I can't remember river's name, but our troops was keeping guards there, because in that time Grand Mufti of Jerusalem was causing a lot of trouble for allies. He wanted Germany to take over, you know, say all the oil and all that. So they had to be careful. And so we stayed stationed there for quite a while. And we've been doing a lot of training then. And I guess, well, we've been training, and I had, you know, say, our army carriers. You've seen the picture there. And we used to go, you know, say, in mountains. There was a lot of goats there. Well, sometimes we used to shoot one or two, bring it to the army camp, and then our cooks were very good. They make a nice meal of it. And we also had, you know, say, sturgeon from Persia. That used to help. Mostly it was frozen beef from Australia and rice. I got fed up with it, you know, say, after leaving it for a whole year or so, you know, you get fed up of rice, you know. Right? And then, you know, say, decided to send us to Kirkuk. But in meantime, before we went, you know, say, to Kirkuk, I got letters from my sister from Africa. They were under army protection, or later on, you know, say somebody took them over, I don't know who exactly. And they used to live in tents, you know, say, well, different places. I think they shifted them a couple of times as well. Kenya or Tanganyika. There was two of my sisters there. Yeah, and we went to Kirkuk. And there was a lot of training. And I joined, you know, say, driving course and mechanics course for a while. But there was a lot of training. And, we used to go to Mosul. There was a bit trouble from Kurds in that time for Iraqis. So we've been just not fighting Kurds or doing nothing, just showing flag, more or less, that's all. And that keep peace and quiet in Iraq at that time. And Iraq was friendly to the Allies. So, you know, it was an ally's friend, you know, it pays us to be friendly with them. Anyway, so much, you know, say, it was driving, you know, people and that driving course. And it was so hot in those days, terrible. And I got sick, I don't know, come back, you know, driving when day and night sometimes. Then I got temperature. Well, they took me to hospital. It was a big tent, army tape. I mean, our brigade tape. And doctor come. What's the matter with you? He said. I said, well, what's the matter? I can hardly, you know, breathe. You know, say I can, you know, say I'm practically dying. You could say it. He said, well, don't worry. You know, you'll get better. Anyway, he put me in the tent, gave me some medicine. I don't know what it was. And there was another two chaps, you know, lying in the tent. It's supposed to be for medical, you know, sick people, or real sick people, you sick bay. I got, you know, say, really bad. I stay there. Well, I'm bad. God, the next day, I can hardly move. I come, you know, say, practically unconscious. And then, you know, say, oh, I remember, you know, I start. You know, say, I can't breathe practically. Them two people, you know, say, start shouting, doctor, 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 you know, Vilcharek is dying. Well, wherever, well, it was lucky that he was somewhere there, you know, say, he come in, I don't know, whatever he done, I think he gave me injection and something else. Anyway, while he is there, it was big tent. oh, such a peace and quiet. You know, 1 minute, you know, say I'm hot. I, you know, my head, you know, is it, you know, full of, you know, some noise and all that. The next minute, I don't know what to make up of it. You know, say, I remember, I'm under the tent, under the roof. I can see them two people there, my bed. I'm lying on the bed. But cross my mind, well, how come, you know, I'm in a bed, you know, say, when I'm under the roof? He said, I don't want to die. I don't want to die, goes across my mind. I said, I must leave. I must leave. I must see what my, you know, what's happened to my sister. And I tried to breathe. And I tried to breathe, you know, some straining. And, oh, suddenly all this all noise and heat and pain come back. And them chaps, you know, shouting, doctor, doctor, do something to him. Well, I remember nothing. Till I wake up, you know, in an army hospital. They took me to Kirkuk, to army hospital. Well, I was there for about a fortnight or more, you know, saying, well, they let me out.
What had you had?
Apparently it was something with my heart. And I was, you know, on my last leg, you know, say, I was very tired. I should have a rest. Because, you know, say, good job I was young, you know, but they really, you know, say, make me work too hard. And there was other people as well, other drivers, you know. There wasn't that many drivers, you know. We were so busy that was cause hit, and, well, I was too weak, you know, so it came on, you know, you couldn't do it. I needed rest, really. But I was lucky that I didn't die that time. I said, thanks, you know, to God many times over there. Yeah. And that's how it goes. And from then,
did you stay in Iraq? Did you stay in Iraq?
Well, yeah, we stayed in Iraq, yeah. And then from then, we went to Syria. And we went through Syria there for quite a while, maneuvering mostly, you know, say exercises, Syria, Lebanon, and we went even to Lebanon, off the cedars of Lebanon there. We had a look there, big trees there. And from there, they decided to send us to Palestine. So we went to Palestine. Then we spent a couple months there training again, you know, day and night mostly. And then from Palestine, they decided to send us to Egypt.
Which unit were you in?
I was 15th Battalion. I was driver at that time. Driver at the battalion. Going, you know, say, everywhere, you know, you need it. Mostly, you know, say, going to headquarters, license, you know, say, mostly driving. Yeah, very, very hard work that was as well, you know.
So this was an infantry battalion?
Yes. Yeah, it was 5th Brigade. There was three battalions, 13th, 14th, and 15th. And was that's where I was, 15th. And then, you know, to Egypt. No, we went there from Egypt, you know, say, they've been reorganizing when we got to Egypt. We used to go, you know, say, our, you know, from battalion, you know, say, people used to go to Basra, that's a port in Iraq. Boats were coming, bringing, you know, new trucks, wheels, you know, say, you know, everything, what the army needed. And, you know, say, been training. Yeah, we see canal there. We used to go to Ismailia sometimes, not very often. That's time in Egypt. And then somebody decided to send us to Italy. On 8th this February 44, we went to port and Alexandria. We went to Italy. First call of, we went to Sicily. They stopped for a little while. And then from Sicily, we went to Taranto. And then, you know, say, we went to some other places until we got some place in Italy, Campolieto, a small town. I remember they put us, you know, our group, our platoon. Actually, it was church, and then we slept there for a little while, a few days. And then they, exercises and all that. And that, you know, say, we start getting ready to go on front. Yes, and as it happens, we went, you know, say, towards the front, or first line, what it's called, and two German aeroplanes coming out to welcome us. There was good job. There was, you know, say, artillery somewhere on the hills. We were going through the road, the narrow road somewhere. And they started, you know, firing, and they managed to shot one plane. And that plane fell very near, you know, our troops. We've been afraid, you know, say, first our fight in Italy. And that's how it started in Italy.
Did you see any fighting at the front?
Oh, yeah. We used to go more or less 10 days, fortnight, and pull back for a little rest. And it was going on. Oh, yeah. I said, you know, so we were going forward once, and the chap in front of us, we were going along a little line, but good job, we were going pretty fast. And that jeep in front blew up. There was mine there. I don't know, a lot, you know, people went through, you know, and jeeps before. But either, you know, it was a dip, you know, say, put in, or it was, you know, he went off the beaten track, like. And then we went, you know, say, forward, you know, through Bologna. The Germans expecting us to go through by the seaside, but instead Polish 2nd Corps cuts through the, you know, country, and they bypass port of Bologna and Ancona. You know, so we were, you know, through Ancona, and we went, you know, towards Bologna, and they've been fighting there. And then, you know, say, more or less, German give up. So war finished. And then we've been, you know, say, shifting from one place to another, and from one place to another, and they try to teach people, you know, some useful, like, army, you know, say, maintenance cars, you know, or lorries or whatever. And, so Ascoli Piceno, Forli, Campobasso, and then, you know, say, they put us up north. I don't know what for, but they sent us there. There was a lovely army, you know, barracks there, all the Italian. And we've been there, and we've been going. There was lots of civilians in that time coming to Italy, and they were placed Taranto and other places, Barletta. And there was people going, you know, a lot of courses, you know, say, for officers, staff courses, and for civilians. And they were, we've been supplying them civilian camps with Russians and taking them places where they were going, you know, say. And just about that time, they decided, well, there was a few months' time, you know, or more maybe, they decided that whoever wanted to go to Poland, they could go to Poland. Some people went there, a lot of people didn't want to go because they, somehow or other, you know, say, news travel, and they didn't treat the people, you know, say, our second Polish corps, you know, they didn't want us because we were against communists. So we decided we stay there. So they, first of all, we went to Bologna, we stayed there, troops were doing guard duty because there was ex-Germans, you know, say, depots, you know, cars, lorries, and you name it. So they didn't want Italian to steal or pinch stuff. So our, you know, soldiers used to guard them. Pardon. And from then, they shift us to a place called Modena. It's a lovely town. And we've been staying there, doing guard duty. There was a big depot there. Same again. Italian been pinching tires from all Germans, you know, lorries and everything, whatever was there. And there was... we've been supplying, you know, say, other units or civilian camps. There was all over Italy. And there was that, not far from there, there was a region, Reggio Emilia, that's Italian region. And there was one place, one region, Italian region, that could supply, was they making and supplying all Italy, or export, I suppose, wine. Vino Lambrusco, I suppose you heard it, or you might even drank it. It's lovely wine. It's like champagne. It's got bubbles in it, a fizzy drink. It's a lovely drink. So, army, I don't know if it's officially or unofficially, they used to, you know, say send one three-ton lorry or so from Reggio Emilia down south. Perhaps army, somebody got paid. I don't know. And besides, they were doing duty about, you know, say, like that. And then, you know, they decided to shift us. So they say, well, all right, we're going somewhere. Don't know yet where. So we went to Bari or Naples. And they put us on a boat. And in the end, one evening, we find ourselves in Liverpool station. But what I should say yet, I forgot to tell you. While we were still in Russia, on Siberia, while we were working, I was working that day with some friend. Nice, sunny, very hot day. It was summer. And we've been working morning about dinner time. I remember I had some bread and some water, you know, to drink. I sat down, and at that, my friend went somewhere, you know, say, I don't know where, have a rest, perhaps somewhere in shade. I was in shade under the tree as well, but sun was shining. I went to sleep, and I had a dream. And what I dreamed, when I woke up, I said, I must remember. I see us, you know, people, not Polish people, you know, say, going, you know, by trains, going and going and going, and some people and me moving and going, I don't know where, it seems like war or something. And then we're going by a boat, big boat. And then we stop in a place somewhere, and we, you know, getting off the boat, there's people talking different language. And some people say, well, that's English, they're speaking English. It's England. And I woke up. I just couldn't believe it. How is it possible? I said, we are here, you know, say, in Russia, in Siberia, and in England, it's just not possible. I said, you know, for start, you know, say, I can't see how Russian letters out of Siberia. On other hand, well, how come, you know, how can we get to England by boat? I mean, you can't swim that far. Anyway, as it came out, it all went through. But people, when I was telling them about my dream, nobody believed it. Well, it wasn't possible, was it? There was another thing I should say, you know. When we were, you know, say in summer, still in Siberia, it was in summer, getting towards autumn. And that had to be done, you know, say pretty quick. What we were doing, some people were cutting. You know, there was a lot of grass, and there was big river and big banks, and people were sent forward and cutting grass. And we were sent, few of us, to pick up that grass because it was soon dry, because summer in Russia, it was very hot, very, very hot. And so that grass dried soon. And then, you know, say somebody had to pick it up, put it in whatever it's called, you know, together. And then during the winter or whatever they had time or transport, they've been taking them back to farms or cohorts or whatever to feed cattle or whatever. We've been, you know, say, working, picking up that grass, hot day. And there was, we got the top of that from the river. We sat on the bank and then we moved back a little bit. There was little space, you know, say, and little shallow, a few trees.